Let us pray. Our Father, we now come to commit the word of God into thy hands. May thou consecrate thy word. May he bless both the hearers and also may he glorify thee. This is my prayer. In Jesus' name I pray and I give thanks. Amen. It was at the onset of the Second World War that the then Prime Minister of Great Britain, Sir Winston Churchill, in a 1939 radio address to the nation, described the deeply complex foreign policy of the Soviet Union by saying these words, and I quote, "I cannot forecast to you the actions of Russia. It is a riddle wrapped in a mystery inside an enigma." Though Sir Winston Churchill of the Soviet Union on his mind when he used this phrase, but unbeknownst to him, he had just coined the best definition of the mystery of God's hidden will. You know, loved ones, you know, the Bible is the revealed will of God to humanity. We all know that. And in the Bible, God not only reveals himself to us, he also reveals his will, how he wants us to live, and what he wants us to do as his people. But there is another part of God's will that is not revealed to us. This is what we call the hidden will of God. As Moses will put it in Deuteronomy chapter 29, verse 29, Moses will say, "The secret things belong to the Lord our God, but the things revealed to us belong to us, to our sons forever, that we may observe all the words of this law." It is these secret things, or what we call the hidden will of God, for each one of our lives, that is a riddle wrapped in a mystery inside an enigma. And God himself affirmed this great mystery of his hidden will when he spoke through the prophet Isaiah. He said to us, he said, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." Isaiah 55, 8 and 9. And the Apostle Paul will also attest to this truth in Romans chapter 11, verse 33, when he wrote, "All the depth of the riches, but of the wisdom and the knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out." Loved ones, undoubtedly, the ways of God are incomprehensible. They are a riddle wrapped in a mystery inside an enigma. And really, none of us can decode the mystery of God's hidden will. But this suddenly begs a question. And this is a very unique question. You know, since God's ways are incomprehensible, how then do we make sense of what God is doing in our lives? You know, how do we make sense of the fact that we pray for healing and death comes knocking? How do we make sense of the fact that we pray for blessing, then comes adversity? You know, how do we make sense of the fact that we pray for peace and here comes war? How do we pray? How do we make sense of the fact that we pray for promotion, then we get laid off? You know, my brothers and my sisters, this morning, I don't believe these questions are mere theological abstracts with no real answers. Rather, I believe the Bible provides for us some guidelines, some unique general principles that can help us to understand even what God is doing when to us it doesn't seem to make sense. And this is what I intend to explore this morning. How we can understand the incomprehensible ways of God even when we have no clue of what he's doing. Now, I believe to make sense of what God is doing, even though his ways are incomprehensible, we have to first understand his knowability. Again, watch what I just said. We have to first understand the knowability of God. In other words, what can be known about him as revealed to us in the Bible? And the reason for it is this. You know, because what can be known about God actually is the key to making sense of his incomprehensible ways. I'm not saying specifically you are going to understand every hidden will of God for your life, but I'm saying the knowability of God will give us a general understanding of the incomprehensibility of his ways and how we as God's people can rest in the fact that while God might be incomprehensible, he's up to something. So when we look at the scriptures, there are three key things I believe the Bible makes known to us about the nature of God. And these three critical things are important in trying to understand the incomprehensible ways of God. The first thing is this. The Bible reveals to us that God is not a watchmaker, but he is a relational God. Again, loved ones, I think you need to write this down. You know, God is not a watchmaker, but he is a relational God. You know, I'm putting on a wristwatch. This wristwatch was made by somebody somewhere at some point in time. And what that person did was unique. They made this watch, put a battery in it. I went to the store, I purchased it, and I'm putting it on, and this watch is working, right? By itself. All I need is just to replace the battery in this watch, and it keeps working. However, this is not how God is. You know, God does not just create and let everything run itself. God just does not create as a watchmaker does and let everything just work itself and it becomes redrawn for his creation. No, God does not function like that. Rather, from the biblical knowledge of God, God not only designs, creates, he is actively involved. Again, watch what I just said. He is actively involved in the daily life of his creation. Let's look at scripture this morning to validate this. Psalm 139, David writing about the presence of God. He says, O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou hast known how I sit down and when I rise up. Thou know my thought from afar. Thou dost scrutinize my path, my lying down and my getting up. Thou art intimately acquainted with all my ways. Are you getting that? David is saying, God, you know me. You are intimately acquainted. You are not withdrawn. You are not disengaged. Again, we read in the Lord Jesus in Matthew chapter 10, verse 29. He said, are not two sparrows so far sent? And yet not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father. But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. So you can see here what is being revealed to us, that God is not a watchmaker. God is a relational God. God is a God that is engaged in his creative order. And since God is engaged in his creative order, we understand that God is concerned and cares for every one of his creation. And this is visible through his providential and a beneficial or benevolent care of his creation. That God provides for everything. God is involved. Now, this relational nature of God should help us at least to make sense of the incomprehensibility of the ways of God, because we know that no matter how things turn out in our lives as Christians, God's care and love for us is unchanging. Again, I want you to watch what I'm saying this morning. Since we know that God is a relational God, we then understand that while his ways might be incomprehensible, the end product of all his ways is always governed by his love and his care for us as his people, because that is his nature. So while you don't understand what God is doing, you can be rest assured that ultimately he won't violate his own nature, because he's a relational God who cares and who loves those that he has called to himself. And as a believer in Jesus Christ this morning, God has chosen you in Christ Jesus, and he cares about you. That while you might not understand, while you pray and things does not happen, you might not understand all that. One thing you can be rest assured in is that God loves you. God cares about you. God wants to engage you in a relationship. And that should be able to give you peace, even though you don't understand what God is doing. The second thing here that the Bible reveals to us about God is this. The Bible helps us to understand that God is not a God of randomness, but a God of well-defined purpose and plan. Again, loved ones, I want you to pay attention to what I'm saying here. The Bible reveals to us that God is not a God of randomness, but a God of well-defined purpose and plan. You know, right from the onset of the Bible, the nature of God is very well detailed. Meticulous nature of God can be seen in his creative order. God never left anything to chance. That is why the theory of naturalistic evolution is nothing but pseudoscience. Because God never left anything to chance. God was very, very particular and very meticulous in his creative glory and his excellence. And you can look at your own body, your anatomy. Look at the placement of every part of your body. Imagine God placed your eyes at the back of your head and your mouth and your nose is at the front of your head. How are you going to put food in your mouth? But God has placed every organ, every part of our body in precise order so that we can function in this world. That tells us that God is not a God of chance. It's a God of very well-defined purpose and plan. And the Bible will tell us this. Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 4. Jeremiah will say, God will say to Jeremiah, "Now the word of the Lord came to me, saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I consecrated you and have appointed you as a prophet to the nations." Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11. God will say again to Jeremiah, "I know the plans that I have for you, declared the Lord. Plans for your welfare, not for calamity, to give you a future and hope." So, loved ones, we can see here that God is a God of well-defined plan and purpose. So, again, watch this. Understanding this nature of God should help us at least to make sense of the incomprehensible ways of God. Why is this? Because since God is a God of well-defined purpose and plan, he has a well-defined purpose for your life, and the incomprehensibility of his ways are conduit of actualizing this plan and purpose. Are you staying with me this morning? You staying with me this morning? That you got to understand that, yes, you might not understand his way, but God is not random. Your life is not an accident. You are not an afterthought. God does not just wake up and say, "Okay, I'm going to change my plan for your life." No, God's plan for your life is well defined. Before you were conceived, God knew you. Before you were conceived, God understood and knew the plan he had for you. And everything in this life, while it's incomprehensible to you, God is using it to actualize the plan that he has for your life. You see, loved ones, that is how you can understand the incomprehensible ways of God, by his knowability. And loved ones, I want to tender to you this morning. Don't let nobody tell you that you are a mistake. You are never a mistake. In God's economy, you're not. You have a purpose. You have a purpose that you are here this morning. You have a purpose on this earth. God has defined your purpose in his eternal mind. And you, as a believer in Jesus, must understand that while you might not understand his ways, he's bringing to fruition in your life the plan and the purposes he has for you. Here we go. The third thing here. The third thing the Bible reveals to us about the knowability of God is this, that God is not limited by the unpredictability of human life, but he is Lord over human history, orchestrating the events of our life to achieve his perfect will. No, I know that's a lot of words, but let me back it up for a minute. Let me break it down for you. God is not subject and is not restrained by human by the unpredictability of life. But he is Lord over human history, orchestrating the events of our lives to achieve his perfect will. Watch this. You know, history is actually the story of God. Every event in history, every single event is the outworking of God's perfect will. Oh man, you might not say, but what is that? The good, the bad, the ugly is the outworking of God's perfect will for humanity. Some of us might not like to hear that, but that's true. To deny that is to deny the sovereignty of God. But God is sovereign over history. God is Lord over history. And let us take an example here. Let's look at the scripture to look at the example of Joseph. His story beginning at Genesis chapter 37. Let me give a synopsis of this story. We read about this story that Joseph, according to God, God had ordained a plan for the life of Joseph to have preeminence over his siblings and ultimately to preserve life. Joseph revealed that in his dreams. So we see here that Joseph was the favorite son of Jacob. But then his brothers became envious because Joseph was the dreamer. And you know what? Joseph didn't keep his mouth shut either, right? Always wappy-wappy and telling everybody how great the dreamer had. And his brothers became envious, right? And one day, Jacob the father sent Joseph to Dothan, go and check on the welfare of your brothers. They're tending the flock at Dothan. So we're told that Joseph goes, and his brothers saw him from afar, and they begin to connive. How are we going to get this dreamer? They said, let's take him and kill him and see what will become of his dream. Then Reuben said, no, don't kill him. Let's put him in a pit. So they took their brothers, stripped them, and dumped them in a pit. Then here comes the Ishmaelites. The Ishmaelites on their way to Egypt. They pull out Joseph and they sold Joseph to the Ishmaelites. Watch what I'm saying to you this morning. I want you to understand this. God is Lord over history. Joseph did not know what God was doing. To Joseph, it was incomprehensible. But God was doing something here. The Ishmaelite now brought Joseph to Egypt. Then we're introduced to Potiphar, the officer of one of the officers of Pharaoh. On that morning, he decided to come to the slave market. Now, I want you to think about it. Potiphar might have slept in that morning and said, hey, I ain't going to the market this morning. But something in him made him to go to that market. And here was Joseph, a young, healthy, strong man. And Potiphar brought Joseph to his house. And we know that Joseph became his servant. But then the Lord began to prosper Joseph. And Potiphar discerned that, listen, this guy, the moment I brought him into my house, everything is going well for me. Something must be about this young boy. What does Potiphar do? He made him the head of his household. Then comes Miss Potiphar. She lost it after Joseph, tried to entrap Joseph. Joseph resisted and she cried, rape. Then Potiphar, in his anger, threw Joseph into the king's prison. Love, once again, I want you to listen to me this morning. Joseph did not understand all this stuff. Is the ways of God at that point was incomprehensible to Joseph. But unbeknownst to Joseph, the God of history was orchestrating events in his life for the ultimate fulfillment of the purpose to which he has called Joseph. Now, so back away, go back again into that prison. In that prison, we're told that something happened in Pharaoh's palace. Two of his officers, the cupbearer and the baker, they were imprisoned, the same prison that Joseph was in. And they had they had dreams the same night, and they felt so depressed because they didn't know the interpretation of their dream. And here comes Joseph. And Joseph interpreted the dream. Baker, you are going to be killed in 3 days. Cupbearer, you're going to be restored to your position. And as Joseph has said, Baker was executed and the cupbearer was restored. So fast forward, a year later, Pharaoh himself had a dream. And how many of you know that we don't will what we dream? It is imposed upon our minds. And God, in his providential power, in his sovereignty, must have imposed that dream on Pharaoh's mind. That Pharaoh dreamt, and all his magicians, all his soothsayers, they couldn't figure it out because God had blocked their wisdom. Then the cupbearer remembered Joseph, and he told Pharaoh about Joseph. And Pharaoh said, okay, listen, go get this Leah out of the prison. And they brought Pharaoh and they brought Joseph to Pharaoh. And Joseph was able to articulate the interpretation of the dream. But not only that, gave Pharaoh a great counsel as how to preserve life. And Pharaoh elevated him to the position of ruler over Egypt. Love, once are you paying attention to that story? Because in that story is the sovereign orchestration of God's power and of events of history, because God is Lord over history. Joseph had no clue of anything taking place here, but God was actually moving in the life of all the states to bring Joseph to where he wants Joseph to be. And again, loved ones, listen. It is this understanding of the outworking of God's purpose that should help us to make sense of God's incomprehensible ways. Because since God is Lord over history, over the history of our life, we can be rest assured that even when we don't understand his ways, God is actually working all things together for our good. Are you understanding what I'm saying this morning? This is how we begin to see the unique wonder of God's glory that is Lord over history. And this morning I want to tender to you, loved ones. God is Lord over your life. God is Lord over the history of your life. You might be going through some valley right now. You might be going through some storms right now. You might be going through some pain right now. But I want to reassure you that as child of God, God might be orchestrating the events of your life for a greater glory, for a greater excellence. You don't have to know. You don't see. But loved ones, this is how we understand the incomprehensible ways of God, that God works in mysterious ways, ways to ultimately actualize the vision, the plan, his perfect will for our lives. Loved ones, even when you and I don't get it, we got to understand what is knowable about God. But loved ones, let me flip this around. So with all this knowledge, knowability about God, how then do we respond when the incomprehensible ways of God enter experience? You know, how do you respond when you seek an employment for five months, 6 months, a year, and nothing comes up? How do you respond when sickness after sickness? How do you respond to ways of God that you don't understand? May I remind you, may I give you two things this morning? Two things of how to respond to the incomprehensible ways of God. First of all, this is what I want you to do. I want you to learn to humbly accept what God allows into your life. Watch what I just said. Humbly accept what God allows into your experience. Loved ones, I tell you what, this is perhaps the toughest thing for most of us to do, especially when he enters into our life and it's not because of self-inflicted wounds. It's just something that we can't control. It happens into our life that is just something that is out of our control. And loved ones, this is tough. And our usual response most times to those incomprehensible ways of God is that many of us interrogate God. Many of us accuse God of being unfair. Many of us indict God. We want God to prove himself. We want God to tell us why he's letting us go through this stuff. But loved ones, that's not how you respond as a Christian. As a Christian, you got to understand what Job will remind his wife. Should we accept prosperity and not adversity from God? There will be times in your experience that God will bring some things into your experience that is incomprehensible. You got to learn to humble yourself to say, listen, Lord, I'm going to accept this stuff. Let me tell you something, loved ones. What you don't understand is that God has been doing this before you came here, and God will still do this after you're gone. Your experience is not just that exceptional that every world stop. No, no, no. You got to understand what God, who God is in his own nature. That is why we learn to accept it. That is why we don't interrogate God. That is why we understand that Father knows best, that with all this stuff that I'm going through, I am going to just humbly accept and allow God to have his way. Because I know that in having his way, God might be setting me up for a destiny that's going to blow my mind. And I tell you this morning, some of you that sit in this church, your destiny might be greater that God is preparing you for. And before you get to that destiny, God has to shape your character. Before you get to that destiny, God has to take some stuff from your life. Before you get to that destiny, God has to strip you of some stuff. Before you get to that destiny, God has to wash you of some things. And loved ones, listen, you humbly accept what God brings into your experience. But here's the final thing, loved ones. How do I respond to the incomprehensible ways of God? Trust them. Simply trust them. Not only accept what he allows into your life, but trust them. You know, even when you don't understand, trust them. Be like Abraham. You know the story of Abraham? Go take your son, your first son, go sacrifice it to him, to me in the mountain, I'll show you. Genesis 22. Abraham didn't understand that. You know, we're reading through the story of Abraham and we knew what happened, but Abraham didn't know at that moment. But what did Abraham do? Abraham obeyed God. Abraham trusted God. Because Abraham understood that God was able to even raise the dead, according to Romans chapter 4, that God was able to raise his son even if he slaughtered. Abraham understood that he trusted God. And God reckoned it for him for righteousness. And loved ones, listen to me, loved ones, this morning. Even when we don't get it, trust them. Even when it's tough to trust, still trust them. Make yourself to trust God. Don't doubt his providential care. Don't doubt his mercy. Don't doubt his faithfulness. Don't doubt his goodness. Don't doubt his compassion. God has you in his mind. God has not forsaken you, neither has he left you. He has imprinted you in the palm of his hand. God has the best intention for you. That is why we read in Romans chapter 8, verse 28. Paul will say, for we know that God causes all things to work together for good for those who love God and those who are called according to his purpose. God loves you. He's working all things out for your good. because you've been called according to his purpose. Loved ones, I tender to you this morning. While the mysteries of God is a riddle in a mystery that's wrapped in an enigma, we got to understand that in all things we trust our God is working it out. Let us pray. Our Father and our God, this morning we do thank thee. We thank thee. We thank thee. At times we don't understand everything in time and space. Lord, we see through a glass dimly. But Lord, you see it all. You see the tapestry of everything in time and space. You know what it looks like. You know what the end is all about. Holy Father, teach us to accept the things that we cannot change. Teach us to trust thee, even when we struggle. Understanding that at the end of it all, it will all make sense. And Father, this morning we thank thee for favor, for mercy, for grace. Holy Father, this is my prayer. In Jesus' name I pray and I give thanks. Amen.